Hey everyone and welcome back. We're going deep today, a real deep dive into the story of Frederick Douglass and his journey to literacy.
Oh, a fascinating one for sure.
It really is, and we're using his autobiography for this one, which is an incredible firsthand account.
Absolutely. There's nothing quite like hearing it straight from the source, right?
Exactly. And you know what really grabbed me was this. How did a young man, enslaved in the 1800s, when it was actually forbidden to teach slaves?
Right. Completely against the law.
Not only learn to read and write, but then use that very knowledge to fight for his freedom.
It's remarkable, isn't it? And to fully grasp the weight of what he achieved, we have to kind of step back into the historical context for a minute. So back then, enslaved people were systematically denied education, completely.
Really? Was that absolute?
Oh, absolutely. Slave owners, they believed that if their slaves could read, well, they were terrified, really. Terrified that they'd start questioning their situation, you know?
Start thinking for themselves.
Exactly. Leading to rebellion, potentially the downfall of the entire system.
So knowledge itself was almost like a threat, right?
Oh, without a doubt.
This forbidden fruit that could disrupt everything. But how did Frederick Douglass even get started? How did he learn to read in the first place?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. His journey, it actually began with his mistress, Sophia Auld.
Okay.
And initially, she treated him with a surprising amount of kindness, even started teaching him to read.
You know, that's what I found so fascinating. She seemed to actually see him as a human being.
At first, yes.
Which, let's be honest, was pretty rare back then.
Extremely rare.
What was it like, you know, for a woman in her position to go against the grain like that?
It's a great question, and it really highlights the complexity of the situation. You see, Sophia's initial compassion, it directly clashed with the deeply ingrained societal norms of slavery.
I see. So even she was trapped by the system.
In a way, absolutely. It distorted her moral compass, made her believe that treating an enslaved person humanely was somehow wrong.
It really makes you think about how insidious slavery was, you know, warping even good intentions.
It corrupted everything it touched.
So what changed? How did Douglass go from having a teacher, someone willing to teach him, to having to fight for every single scrap of knowledge?
The turning point, it came when Sophia's husband, Hugh Auld, discovered what was happening. And he immediately put a stop to it.
He understood the threat.
Oh, absolutely. Perhaps even better than Sophia herself, he understood the perceived threat that literacy posed to the entire institution of slavery.
So, faced with this obstacle, what did Douglass do? He couldn't just enroll in a school, right?
No, not at all.
Or visit the library.
He had to get creative.
Had to.
What's so remarkable is his resourcefulness. He would trade food for lessons, imagine that.
Really?
With white boys he'd befriended on the street.
Wow.
Turning everyday errands, stolen moments, into learning opportunities.
So public spaces became his classroom?
In a way, yes. And his learning to write, that's even more impressive.
I was amazed by that. He used, what, discarded copybooks, shipyard markings?
Anything he could find. Talk about making the most of what was available.
He was determined.
Absolutely. It speaks volumes about his resilience, his sheer determination. He simply refused to let any obstacle stand in his way. But it wasn't just practical skills he was after. Douglass craved something more intellectual and emotional stimulation. And he found that in a book called The Columbian Orator.
Yes. That book seemed to be a real turning point for him. What was it about this Columbian Orator that had such a profound impact?
It exposed him to powerful arguments, really powerful arguments against slavery.
Okay.
And they resonated deeply with his own experiences and growing sense of injustice.
Because this wasn't just theory for him.
No, not at all. This was his life.
His reality.
One dialogue in particular captivated him. It was between a master and a slave, where the slave actually wins his freedom through reasoned debate.
You know, I'm curious, how did this newfound knowledge, this awareness, impact Douglass emotionally? It must have been a roller coaster.
You're absolutely right. It's one thing to understand the concept of freedom intellectually,
right?
But to feel it in your bones, to see its possibility reflected in the words of others.
That's different.
Entirely. And this is where we begin to see the double-edged sword of knowledge. It brings pain, awareness of injustice, but also a powerful motivation for change. It's powerful, isn't it? It wasn't just an intellectual awakening for Douglass, reading the Columbian Orator.
Oh, definitely not.
It was a deeply emotional experience.
And it wasn't just theory for him, right? This was his life.
Exactly. In Sheridan's speeches, the ones on Catholic emancipation,
right,
Douglass, he found this parallel, this connection to his own yearning for freedom.
Like he finally had words for it.
It's like those words, they gave voice to his desires, his frustrations, all those unspoken things.
And that's where it gets really interesting, because knowledge, in a way, it became a burden for him.
It did.
Douglass talks about how this growing awareness of the injustice, it brought about all this inner turmoil.
Right, and he describes feeling this growing hatred for his enslavers.
I could only imagine.
As he realizes the true magnitude of their crime, you know, and that awareness, it brought torment, this feeling of being trapped with no escape in sight.
It's heavy stuff. Instead of bringing him joy, knowledge brought him pain.
It's a powerful insight, isn't it? It raises this question about the nature of knowledge itself.
It's not always a good thing.
Well, it's not always a straightforward path to happiness or liberation.
Right.
Sometimes it can lead to these periods of profound discomfort, even despair.
So how did Douglas cope with this burden? How did he keep going?
Well, for Douglas Hope, it was ignited by a chance encounter on the wharf.
Okay.
He meets these two Irishmen, and their reaction to his situation, it's so unexpected.
I remember that part. These working-class immigrants probably facing their own hardships.
Right, likely facing discrimination themselves.
And they show empathy for an enslaved man.
They do. They encourage him to escape north, promising him freedom and support.
It's incredible, allyship from such an unexpected source.
It is a crack of humanity shining through in this deeply divided system.
But did Douglas trust them?
Well, despite his desperation, you know, that yearning for freedom,
yeah.
Douglas was also cautious.
He had to be.
He knew the dangers of trusting white men in that system.
He'd learned the hard way.
He had appearances could be deceiving, right? So he played it safe, pretended not to understand their advice.
But secretly held on to it.
While secretly treasuring it in his heart, exactly.
That's incredible. Intelligence and survival instincts all in one.
He knew he couldn't afford to make any rash decisions.
He was playing the long game.
Absolutely. And he understood that escape, it would require careful planning, preparation.
And for him, that involved literacy.
It did. He believed that being able to write, it would be essential for his escape.
His ticket to freedom.
Perhaps even for forging his own past, you know.
Yeah. Even in this moment of vulnerability.
Uncertainty.
He never lost sight of that goal.
He didn't, and that's a testament to his belief, his unwavering belief in the power of literacy.
For him, it wasn't just a means to an end.
No, it was a source of empowerment, a way to claim agency in a world that sought to deny him every bit of it.
His dedication was inspiring, but how did he finally master writing?
He improvised, shipyard markings, copybooks, even a lump of chalk and a board fence became his tools.
Wow.
He took every opportunity to practice, to refine those skills.
What determination.
His story, it's a testament to the human spirit, you know?
It really is.
That ability to triumph even in the darkest of circumstances.
It gives me chills.
The pursuit of knowledge, it can be a beacon of hope, a path towards liberation.
A way to change your destiny.
Exactly.
It's amazing, isn't it, how one man's pursuit of something like literacy could have such a ripple effect.
It really is.
Not just on his own life, but on the lives of countless others.
A true testament to its power.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to kind of shift our focus to the lasting impact of all this.
Okay.
What did this hard-won ability to read and write truly mean for Douglas in the long run?
Well, it was transformative, truly transformative.
In what way?
It sparked his awareness of the injustice, you know, gave him a language, a way to understand and articulate his own oppression.
So it wasn't just about acquiring a skill. It was about something bigger.
Much bigger. It was about empowerment, gave him a voice.
A voice to fight back.
Exactly. Fueled his fight for freedom, provided him with the intellectual ammunition, the moral courage to become a leader in the abolitionist movement.
Wow.
And of course, as we talked about, played a crucial role in his escape.
It's almost like a domino effect.
It is. One thing leads to another.
Literacy leads to awareness, which leads to action.
And ultimately, to freedom.
Powerful stuff.
His story, it holds a message, a powerful one for us, even today.
What's that?
It reminds us of how important access to education is, the transformative power of knowledge,
yeah,
and the strength of the human spirit, even in the face of what seem like insurmountable obstacles.
Douglas's story really is a reminder that knowledge is power.
It is.
And that even in the darkest of times, education can be that beacon of hope.
Absolutely.
So what can we as individuals learn from all this, from his incredible journey?
I think it shows us that learning, personal growth, it can happen even in the most challenging circumstances.
Right, no matter what.
His perseverance, it should inspire us to seek out knowledge, embrace critical thinking.
Use our voices.
Yes, use our voices to advocate for change for the better.
Well said, well said. Frederick Douglass's story is a powerful testament, really, to the human capacity for resilience.
Hope.
And the pursuit of freedom.
In all its forms.
If you're interested in learning more, I highly recommend his autobiography.
An incredible read.
It really is, truly inspiring. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive. If you find value in our show, please support us at thinkandactlocally.com/archon/donate. Link in show notes.